Genesis chapter 7 this morning. We'll begin reading at verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and the female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. They went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord God, we pray right now and ask and beseech thee, O God, that you would open our hearts to your word, that we might be receptive to it. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I want to direct your attention to just one phrase in this whole passage of Scripture, and it's in verse number 4. Verse number 4, for yet 7 days. For yet 7 days, 1 week. 7 days, 1 week. 1 week, what's 1 week in a lifetime? I've calculated, and up until today, I've lived 3,354 weeks. Some of you have lived more. But what's 1 week in 3,354 weeks? Just 1 week out of over 3,000. For Noah, it was quite more. Noah's 600 years old. That's 31,200 weeks. That's a lot of weeks. A lot of times. A lot of Sundays through Saturdays, isn't it? 31,000. What's 1 week in 31,200? Noah's 600 years old. He's lived up to this point for 600 years. 120 years prior to this, the Lord had said, I'm not always going to strive with man. I'm not always going to strive. My spirit shall not always strive with man. For yet 120 years, his day shall be 120 years. And after that, God spoke to Noah, and he said, I want you to build an ark. I'm going to destroy the world with a flood. And I want you to build an ark. For the next number of years, probably 75 or so years or whatever time frame it was, Noah did what God commanded him to do. He built an ark. As he built that ark, he preached the gospel. He was a preacher of righteousness. And then the ark was finished. Complete. And God says, 7 days, Noah. You can enter that ark. I'm going to shut the door. And I'm going to destroy all of life. You see, it wasn't just 1 week. It wasn't just 1 week amongst 31,200 weeks. It was the last week. The last week. After 600 years, God said to Noah, 7 days, and I'm going to flood the world. 7 days, you'll enter that ark. For 7 days, you'll bring animals into that ark. And 7 days, and that seventh day, you'll enter that ark. And I will shut the door. And you'll be safe. You'll be saved in the ark. For yet 7 days, just 1 week. And yet as I've read this verse over and over and over again, the thought came to me that as Noah in those last 7 days was doing as God commanded him, bringing the animals into the ark, preparing, and as he stepped into that ark, and as the Lord shut the door, I wonder how many people, others, said, what about us? What about us? What did you do last week? What were your priorities last week? What took place in your life last week? What did you accomplish last week? If you were told that you have just 1 week, what would you do? If you were told you had just 7 days, just 7 days, not just 1 week, but the last week, what would you do? When I say that phrase, when I ask that question, what about us? The message this morning is not going to focus on Noah. For in 7 days, Noah would enter that ark and the Lord would shut the door and Noah would be absolutely safe. No fears, no worries. He would be safe in the ark. And if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, your Savior, you're safe in Jesus Christ. But what about others? What about us? The 3 points this morning. The first one is this. 3 simple words. Just 1 word for every point. First word is some. S-O-M-E, in case you're wondering how to spell it. What about others? I want you to turn back to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, you see, when we read Genesis chapter 6 and 7, 8, 9, our attention is focused on Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God said, I've seen thee righteous before me in all generations. Noah, come into the ark. You'll be safe in the ark. But in Genesis chapter 5, I want you to notice something as we looked at this a number of weeks ago. Verse 28, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. And here we see Lamech. Lamech has a son. And that son, as we know, is a man called Noah, who would find grace in the eyes of the Lord, would find mercy, would find safety and salvation in the ark that God commanded to build as the Lord would shut him in. But look closely at the next verse. Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. Lamech lived after he had Noah. And the Bible said he had sons and daughters. Those were Noah's brothers and Noah's sisters. They were some of the others that were outside the ark. The Bible doesn't go on to speak anything more about them. But when we come to the ark, only Noah and his sons, Noah, his wife and his sons' wives entered in that ark. What about us? What about Noah's brothers? What about Noah's sisters? What about Noah's aunts, uncles? What about Noah's cousins? What about our families? What about us? Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. Oh, we could go on to read the familiar passage of Genesis chapter 6, where God saw that wickedness abounded, that every person on earth was sinning continually against God. Noah's brothers, Noah's sisters, Noah's cousins, Noah's friends, relatives. Turn to Luke chapter 16 for a moment. Luke chapter 16. There was another man in the Bible, in Luke chapter 16, that had brothers. And this man basically was asking the same question. What about my brothers? What about others? What about the some that are outside of Christ, that are outside of the ark? In Luke chapter 16, this man had died. And the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 16 that when this man died, it says in verse 22, came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. The Bible goes on in Luke chapter 16 to speak about the torments of hell. But as the reality of hell and the torments of hell overtook this man had a concern. And when you go down to Luke chapter 16, verse number 27, he says this, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers. Noah had at least four others in his family. Lamech had sons and daughters. This man had five brothers. And he said, what about them? I have five brethren. Send that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. How many others were outside of that ark that morning? How many others were there that began to wonder as those 7 days went by, one right after another, and said, what about us? This man said, I have 5 brethren. Please send something to them. And Abraham says, they need to hear Moses. They need to hear the word of God. They need to hear the prophets. But who's going to tell them? You know, today when someone gets sick or you have an illness or an injury, you have a choice in that moment of deciding, where do I go? It's after 5 o'clock, so I can't call my doctor. Where do I go? You have a choice. You have a choice between what is called urgent care or the emergency room. And so which do you go to? Do you go to the urgent care? Do you go to the emergency? What do I do? Well, some people would say, well, I'm going to make my decision based upon the cost. And they'll tell you it's cheaper to go to the urgent care than it is to go to the emergency room. But when it comes to facing that question, a lot of times the question isn't about what does it cost financially. It's about my life. So where do I go? Do I go to urgent care? Or do I go to the emergency room? And the difference is narrowed down to this one question. How serious is the illness or the injury that you are facing right now? They say that you make a decision based upon that one answer. How serious is it? If it's not that serious, if it's something minor and something that's not life-threatening, well, go to the urgent care. It'll work, hopefully. But if it's critical, go to the emergency room. Folks, when it comes to a person's soul, there is no room in our thinking for urgent care. It is always emergency room before it's too late. For yet 7 days, just 1 week, sisters and brothers outside the ark, a man in hell lifts up his eyes and says, please send someone. Send someone. It's an emergency. It's not just about urgent care, it's an emergency. Because if someone doesn't go, if someone doesn't tell my brothers, they're going to come to this place of torment. And when it comes to us as believers, we need to make sure that our perspective, our look at the souls of others outside of Christ is the nature of an emergency, not just urgent care. How that would change the way we pray. Many times we pray for souls with the attitude of urgent care instead of the emergency room. When you hear the news that someone has gone to urgent care because they have a cold or something to that degree, well, I'll pray for them. But when you hear someone has gone to the emergency room because of a life-threatening injury, all of a sudden your prayer changes, doesn't it? It's time to start praying from the emergency room.
for the souls of those around us. For yet 7 days, for just 1 week. If you were told that you had just one more week to reach your loved ones with the gospel of Jesus Christ, wouldn't you pray differently? Wouldn't you plead with them more? Wouldn't you be more concerned with pleading with them one more time than you would about whether their feelings or your feelings are hurt, or whether the relationship is strained or anything else? You see, when it comes to the emergency room, when it comes to a critical, life-threatening situation, we're not concerned with our feelings anymore. We're not concerned with offending or being hurt. We're concerned with one thing: the life of that person in that emergency. Lamech had other sons and other daughters. And for some, in those 7 days, they were outside of the ark. Today, there's many that are outside of the ark, outside of Christ. Family, friends, neighbors. What about us? But there's something else when we read Genesis chapter 5 and 6 and 7. There's something else important as well. For yet 7 days, just 1 week, not just any week, one more week, one last week. What about us? Well, if you will, turn to Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 3. Second point is soon. Soon. How quickly does 7 days go by? How quickly do those hours in each day pass by? And soon it's not we have yet 7 days, but those 7 days have rushed right by. Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 3. The Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. At this point, the Lord said, "I've seen the wickedness of earth. I've seen the wickedness of man. They're corrupt. I'm going to destroy the whole world. But I'm going to give them 120 more years. That's the long suffering of God. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9. If you'll turn there, way in the back of the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3. It tells us why God is long suffering. Why, if God has seen the wickedness of man, if he's purposed to destroy the world with a flood, to destroy every life, everything that is breath, why would he say 120 more years? Because in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says this: "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Because it's God's desire, it's God's purpose, His heart, that men would repent and be saved from their sin and not face judgment. Because of their sin. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Enoch, before this, had preached and prophesied. Jude chapter 1 says he prophesied that the Lord was going to come with 10,000 of his saints to pronounce judgment, to judge the ungodly for all their ungodly deeds and their ungodly words which they had said and done. And he was going to execute judgment. And throughout the Old Testament, that warning had been given over and over again. Over and over again, the prophets of the Old Testament spoke and warned and prophesied that the day of the Lord was going to come. The day of the Lord, the day of God's judgment upon the sinfulness of mankind. We could look at all the Old Testament prophets and over again, all the way through the book of Malachi. They warned and they say, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2 that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. That day of judgment comes in the moment when you're least expecting it. And the day of the Lord speaks of that time from when the Lord comes for his church, begins to deal with the rest of the world. Says that day, that comes as a thief in the night. But when judgment comes, what about us? What about the some that are outside of Christ? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and verse number 27, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Book of Revelation, chapter 20, tells us that if your name's not found written in the Lamb's book of life, just one thing, if your name's not found written in the Lamb's book of life, you'll be cast into the lake of fire because of the judgment of God upon sin. And for those that were outside of the ark, they had been warned over and over and over again about the judgment that was to come. 120 years passed, 7 days passed, and judgment came. Judgment came. And the flood overwhelmed the earth, and everything that had life and breath died. And after this, the judgment. It was a number of years ago. It was a Saturday night. And I had already gone to bed. My phone rang. It was about 10:30, quarter of 11 at night. My phone rang and I'm laying in bed and I took the phone call. And someone called me up and they said, Pastor, a relative of ours is in the hospital. Been sick, been in the hospital. But the doctors just came in and said to this young man in his early 50s, told him face to face, "You're not going to see the sun when it comes up. This is your last night. You're not going to see the morning." And they said, "Pastor, would you go and would you talk to this man?" So I get up out of bed and took off my nice woolly jammies. Pastors wear those too. Got dressed and I went down the hospital. I had spoken with this man before. He had heard the gospel many times before. He knew the gospel of Jesus Christ. He could explain it to you, tell you all about it. But he was outside the ark. And it was 11:30 at night, and I got to the hospital and went to this man's room, and there was only his wife there, and no one else was there. And I began to talk with this man. And I said in my heart, I said, "There's no time for casual talk tonight. There's no time for anything but truth." So I stood at this man's bedside as he had been told that he would not see the next morning. And he knew me very well. And I said to him, I said, "You know, I said, this is not the time to talk about anything else but one thing. I said, you have just been told that by morning, you are going to stand before God. And you need Jesus Christ." And I says, "Let's get to it." I said, "Won't you right now come to the cross and trust Jesus Christ, your Savior?" And praise God, that man said yes. Right there, he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. He did see the next morning. In fact, he lived a few more years and his life was changed because he trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. But judgment was coming, and that man trusted Jesus Christ and was no longer condemned, but safe in the ark of Jesus Christ. There's some that are outside of the ark, unsaved without Christ. And soon, judgment of God will come. It always does. You can't escape it. You can't ignore it. You can't run from it. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. But there's one more word I want us to look at this morning. Turn to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7. Verse 4, he says, For yet seven days, and Noah goes through those 7 days, and Noah does what God commands him to do. And then you come down to verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, 600th year, second month, 17th day of the month. Look how precise, exact God is. The same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up.
and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, the sons of Noah, the Noah's wife, 3 wives of his sons with him in the ark, they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, 2 and 2, and all flesh were in the breath of life. And that they went in, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded them. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth. You get that word? The Lord shut him in. The Lord shut the door. 600 years, 2nd month, 17th day of the month. After 120 years that God said, I'll be long-suffering. After 7 days that God said, for yet 7 days, just one more week, just one more week. On that selfsame day, Noah entered that ark, his wife, his sons, their wives. And the Bible says, and the Lord shut him in. The Lord shut the door. And here we see that while God is eternal, the long-suffering of God is not. For the Lord shut him in. When the Lord shut the door on that ark, there was no opening it for any reason by any man. Noah couldn't open it from the inside. The others couldn't open it from the outside, because the Lord God himself shut the door. And the ark was closed. The opportunity was over. The 120 years had passed. The 7 days had passed. The door was shut. You know, there's a passage of scripture, if you'll turn there. It's over in Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, Luke chapter 13, and verse number 23. It's a very arresting passage of scripture. Verse number 23, then said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. The Lord says, strive to enter in. Strive, be urgent. Excuse me, be more than urgent about getting saved. He says, because there will be many that will seek to enter in, but will not be able. Wait a minute. I thought you said God was long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Does not the Bible say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life? What does the Lord mean when he says many will seek to enter in and not be able? What he means is when he shuts the door. Look at the next verse. They'll not be able when once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door. When the Lord shuts the door of opportunity, no one
is able to open it up. In fact, the Lord says, when once he has risen up and shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. The Bible isn't clear. The Bible doesn't give us any details of what took place on that day when the Lord shut the door of that ark. But here it tells us that when the Lord shuts the door of opportunity on the salvation of her person's soul, when that door is shut, there'll be people, they'll be standing outside knocking. Oh, it won't be a timid knock. It'll be a pounding on the door with desperation. It'll be a knocking that would take the skin off of the knuckles. It'd be a knocking that would not stop as they seek to enter in, but the door is shut. And the Lord's response is this. They say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. They'll begin to say, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. Or we could say, they might say, well, I sat in the Lakes Palm Baptist Church and I heard the pastor speak about others outside of Christ. I heard the pastor speak and preach about that judgment is coming. I heard the pastor speak that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. I sat there for weeks and weeks and weeks and heard the message. Door shut. The Lord says, depart from me. I never knew you. But he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence you are. Depart from me, all you works of iniquity. And there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth as the door is shut outside without Christ in hell. In torments, in the lake of fire. The year was 1990. I remember it so well. It was L&M once again. I wasn't there. It was a young man, 49 years old. A man that I had known for 10 years. Talked to him many times about the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the hospital. It was a Tuesday night. He was recovering. And he was told that the next morning he'd be discharged and could go home. That's always a comforting, exciting news to have, isn't it? That night, a Tuesday night, another man came and visited him and shared the gospel with him one more time and asked that man of 49 years, who had heard the gospel many times, who had asked many questions about everything from Jesus Christ to the church and all things. As that man visited him and shared the gospel with him one more time and asked him if he wanted to be saved, he said no. Tuesday night passed and Wednesday morning came, and they took this man from his room, as they do when they discharge you, and they put him in a wheelchair and they wheeled him to the elevator and went down to the first floor. And they were walking along that long hallway down L&M to the lobby. They got to the lobby. The doors are right there. He's about to get out of that wheelchair and walk into the fresh air and resume life. Except for one fact. The Lord God determined that this was a moment when he would stand before God. And as they were wheeling him down to the lobby, he had a massive heart attack and died in the wheelchair. And at that moment, he stood before God. For yet 7 days, just 1 week, what about us? You see, two different men about the same age, found themselves in the same hospital. Wouldn't surprise me if they had found themselves on the same floor. Our God is an awesome God. But one man was confronted with the reality that before the daylight broke, he would stand before God. And he realized that it was no longer about years. It was no longer about weeks. It was no longer about days. It was down to hours. And he called upon the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved. But another man thought he had another day. 49 years old, he thought, I've got another day. I've got another week. I've got another month. I've got another year. I've got life ahead of me. And the Lord said, no. This night, thy soul shall be required of thee. For yet 7 days, just 1 week, what about us? Someone here this morning, you've heard the gospel time and time again, time and time again. You're looking at your life and you're saying, I'm healthy. You may have just had a physical, and the doctor said, all is well. But just because you look and say, I've got tomorrow, and just because the doctor says all is well, doesn't guarantee you anything but this moment right now. And you need Jesus Christ. But now really, what about us? For yet 7 days. You know, Noah, after 600 years, was told, Noah, you have 7 more days, and then you're going to go into that ark, and you're going to be safe. In those 7 days, Noah, I want you to gather the animals together. By sevens and by twos, I want you to bring them in the ark, and then in 7 days, I want you to enter the ark, and I'm going to shut the door. And Noah, you're going to be safe. 7 days, just 1 week. For us as Christians, we're not even promised 1 week, praise God. We're told the Lord may come at any moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're supposedly looking to the clouds, watching for the Lord, listening for the trump, for that moment when we'll be caught up in the clouds to meet our Lord and Savior in the air. And it says, comfort one another with these words. And what a comfort it is. What a comfort it was for Noah to know that in 7 days, as judgment came upon the face of the earth, what a comfort it was for Noah to know that he would be safe in the ark. And what a comfort it is this morning as a Christian to know that no matter what happens, the Lord could come at any moment, and I'm safe in Jesus Christ. I'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord At his right hand there are pleasures forevermore.
I'll be with my Savior Jesus Christ.
And we're told that the Lord could come at any morning. Praise God, what a wonderful thing that is.
But in those 7 days, Noah was commanded by the Lord. He was given a task. He was told, here's what you're to do in these 7 days.
You're to gather animals by sevens for sacrifices and offerings. You're to gather animals by twos and twos so they will reproduce and there'll be more animals on the earth.
We've also been given a command. We've not been told we have 7 days. We've been told we have just this moment because the Lord could come at any time. And we've been given one commandment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, it's not about urgent care, folks. It's about the emergency room. Just 1 week. 7 days. What about us? What about you this morning? Are you saved? Are you safe in Jesus Christ? Are you not sure? Well, the gospel is simple from our perspective. Christ died for you, for your sins, according to Scripture. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to Scripture. And the Bible says you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Oh, you just realize and you admit to God, Lord God, I know I've sinned against you. And I know judgment is coming. But I believe Jesus died for me and rose again. Please forgive me. Save my soul. Oh, if you would pray that in the quietness of your own heart right now. God has promised, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For yet 7 days, just 1 week, not just any week, this week. What about us? Let's pray.